following interview is conducted as part of the Georgia Institute of Technology's Everyday Georgia Interview Project. Today is May 30th. The interview is taking place in Woodstock, Georgia. The interviewer is Allison Powell Key. The interviewee is Sean Dixon. Thank you for participating in this project. Okay, so the first question is, where were you born and where did you grow up?
I was born in Kokomo, Indiana. And my dad was military, so for the first 2 years I was out of Montgomery, Alabama, and then from three on I was raised here, so pretty much 5 miles down the road from, you know, where we live now.
Okay. So Erin mentioned that everybody knows you and kind of, you know, everybody kind of knows your family and things like that.
They do.
Since you've been here for so long.
Yeah. They do. In fact, one of, Erin's best friends, her mother actually went to high school with me, so it is kind of strange to see people all the time that I know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can you please tell me about your education and career experiences?
Okay, well, I did obviously finish high school. I went to college for a couple of years. I was actually studying computer programming. Mm-hmm. But about that time, I actually had Kirsten. So I was trying to do so many things. So I actually dropped college and I worked for 20 years in the print, marketing, and advertising industry.
Okay.
After 20 years, the industry changed a little bit and I stepped into IT. So now I sell IT technology solutions and I've been doing that for coming close to 3 years now. So it's been quite a different change.
Right. Yeah, that is kind of a career shift.
Big time. Still in sales, though. I still do sales.
Oh,
I stayed in the sales industry, but, you know, sales field, but I changed industries, which was a total different change.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. Okay. What are your interests and hobbies?
Oh, interests and hobbies. Soccer. Our family is a huge, huge soccer. Mm-hmm. So we are actually founding members of the Atlanta United Soccer. I played soccer. I coached my daughters in soccer. I kind of forced them / made them play soccer. So that's a lot of what we do. I love to read, and we love animals. Consequently, we have 5 cats and 4 dogs.
Yeah.
So that's a big interest of ours as well.
Okay. Okay, can you please describe a significant person or event which influenced who you are today?
That's a hard one. I have to laugh and say I had a teacher when I was very young. Actually, he just recently retired within the past 5 years. Mm-hmm. That basically, when I was a kid, I was a messy person. My husband can tell you that. My mom used to take photos, and he used to dump our desk at school when we did. And consequently, that changed me as far as being a work person. I'm very organized growing up in life. So can't say so much about my home life, but my about my work life. He was a very big influence. He was just one of those people that liked you to get your stuff in order, and mm-hmm. that's what I did. Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, transitioning to more of the Georgia Tech Initiative related questions, can you talk about how you initially became involved with Georgia Tech?
Well, we've been involved with Georgia Tech for years. My husband went there. But as far as the Georgia Tech project, our daughter was diagnosed with cancer and was a patient at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. And her oncologist, Karen Wazalewski, suggested that Kirsten participate in the research mm-hmm. and stuff, especially her being a bit of an older child. Around the experiences at Children's Healthcare, a lot of them are kind of directed towards smaller children.
Right.
And it's really hard for kids that, you know, I wouldn't necessarily even call my daughter a kid. She was pretty much an adult being treated in a child setting. There wasn't a lot for her to do other than kind of sit around. So, you know, she was very interested in participating, and hopefully, you know, it's done some difference with that.
Right. Okay. So with the research that Kirsten was involved with, can you talk about how this may have impacted her life or your life, your family's life at all?
Definitely Kirsten. Kirsten was always one to want to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
Just in general, Kirsten was that kind of person who grabbed onto people and tried to help them with stuff. So you know, I think for her, especially during that time, it gave her something else to focus on besides what was going on. And she was very proud of the fact that she got to participate, very excited, knowing that even though she was not going to be around, things would change for other people
right
in the future. So yeah, that was a great experience for her.
Yeah. And I understand that she went and spoke to some Georgia Tech classes. John brought up the good point that she was, you know, around the same age as the students. So what do you think it was like for her to kind of, you know, see students her age who were kind of doing this kind of research and, you know, feeling like she's being a part of it? You know, what are your insights on that?
I think it would give her, it's too bad she's not around, obviously, but it would give her great pride to know that, you know, she was able to get involved in something like that. I mean, she was, you know, at her schools, she was always involved. So, you know, helping out others and getting involved and knowing, you know, that she was able just to participate even in the smallest amount in something that was going to make a difference. Mm-hmm. There's no words to say. She would be extremely proud.
Yeah. What was she like? Can you just tell me about her?
Our daughter didn't really seem to know a stranger.
Yeah.
From very little, you know, there are things around our house. People have written things. Our daughter was that girl that was always smiling, mm-hmm. no matter what happened in her life. She was a very bright, outgoing person, befriended everyone from the geekiest person in the class to the most popular in the class. She just... Mm-hmm. You know, she was not your typical, you know, stereotype child.
Yeah.
Embracing of all, very interested in the world, very multicultural. Mm-hmm. I mean, thanks to her, we have friends from Ireland, Australia, Denmark, Sweden, you name it. Mm-hmm. We've met so many people, and she really, you know, brightened our lives and brought the world to us, should I say.
Yeah.
So she was an amazing girl.
Okay, that's all the questions I really have. Is there anything else that you would like to share?
No, well, I mean, you know, other than Kirsten, you know, I think the research that you guys are doing is great and in partnership with Children's Healthcare. Mm-hmm. I think anything that we can do to make people's lives better, you know, just make a change in someone else's life, whether it be little or small, is a great thing. So. We're very proud that she participated in this and hope that, you know, all that we're doing helps you guys.
All right. Well, thank you for participating in the Everyday Georgia interview project and sharing your story with us.
Thank you.
The following interview is conducted as part of the Georgia Institute of Technology's Everyday Georgia interview project. Today is May 30th. The interview is taking place in Woodstock, Georgia. The interviewer is Allison Powell Key. The interviewee is John Dixon. Thank you for participating in this project.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so first question, we'll just do a little background information. Can you talk about where you were born and where you grew up?
Yeah, I was actually born in a little town in northwest New Jersey called Blairstown. And I spent, 21 of my 47 years up there. Lived in Blairstown for a while and lived in Princeton. And before I moved here to Georgia, I was going to Stevens Tech in Hoboken. And then I found out that I qualified for in-state rates in Georgia because my parents had moved down here and came down to Georgia Tech. So I never left.
So you're a Georgia Tech alum.
Well, funny story is that I met my wife. And we accelerated things a little bit where Kirsten came along, and I was three classes shy of graduating and never got around to graduating.
Okay. Okay.
I still consider myself a tech, you know.
Heck yeah, yeah. Okay, can you please tell me about your education and career experiences?
Yeah, so I went really to school for mechanical engineering. Mm-hmm. Kind of with the viewpoint of, you know, what mechanical engineering probably was 80 or 90 years ago, working on mechanical objects, power plants, things like that. But what I kind of learned was really that the profession had changed. And what Georgia Tech was educating was truly more, I would say, engineering managers. So, you know, that kind of lost a little bit of its appeal to me because I really, at that point in time, is, you know, 21, 22 years old, I really wanted to work on machines and engines. I took a job actually shortly after, while I was going to Tech, I started working for a small company that was building drive-up ATM enclosures. And I actually was using mechanical engineering skills that I learned to design these enclosures where you could take a 2,000-pound, essentially an ATM, which is nothing more than a safe with a computer on it, and slide it out of the device so that it could be securely serviced by somebody putting money, reloading money into it, what have you. Mm-hmm. So it involved a lot of really neat technology and a lot of design work, but it really wasn't paying terribly well.
Right.
And the owner of that business asked me if I knew anything about computers. I said, well, yeah, I have one at home, and yeah, I know a little bit about them. So he said, well, I want you to build me a computer network. And actually, I did that, and I had fantastic fun. Yeah. The only thing I learned was never, ever run cable, because I actually fell through the ceiling. Oh. And that was really unpleasant. But
okay.
what I learned was I really liked working with computers more than anything. So that completely detoured my path. Now, that company was always in financial trouble. So I left there and I went to work for a small systems integrator that did water, wastewater, and intelligent transportation control systems. So a lot of the water and wastewater plants in Atlanta are still run on systems that were put in by this company called TransDigm. But again, it was one of these companies that lived and died by public contracts. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't have a long career path in front of it. I couldn't see a great growth path there. Mm-hmm. So I started looking outside of that, and Tetra Pak, the little juice box manufacturer, mm-hmm. and at the time National Distributing Company, started interviewing me for a network administrator position. And it just so happened that National offered me a little bit more money and some money up front, and I've been there now 20 years. So I call it Hotel California, because you check in, you just never leave. So
right, okay.
But it's a fantastic company. It's privately owned.
Okay.
The Carlos and Davis family in the Atlanta area are hugely philanthropic, and it's a great place to work.
Great. Okay. Let's see. What are your interests or hobbies?
I have so many. My problem is, I have too many hobbies, but right now my major focus is cars and motorcycles. Mm-hmm. I have a private pilot's license, but to date, my wife has basically forbidden me from getting any part of buying an airplane or anything like that. So I'm really, really into Porsches right now, and I've always loved motorcycles and have a couple of Ducatis.
Like collecting them, fixing them up,
Collecting them, fixing them up, driving them.
Yeah.
I love doing. I just got back last week. I did a Porsche performance driving school out in Birmingham.
Yeah.
Realized I probably could have, I was fast enough, I probably could have raced as, as a side career if I wanted to.
Okay. Okay, let's see. Can you describe a significant person or event which influenced who you are today?
I would say probably the most significant person in influencing who I am is my father. Mm-hmm. He was another one of these guys that had too many hobbies. And never enough time, but he was a insatiably curious guy, mm-hmm. who always he was interested in everything from arts to sciences. I mean, he painted, he woodworked, he flew, mm-hmm. So he was probably the most inspiring to me in terms of how I live my life, and why I'm curious about the things that I am. And ironically, he kind of taught me also what not to do. Mm-hmm. The one challenge that my father had was that he always wanted people to know how smart he was. Mm-hmm. And he would always, do that to the point of obnoxiousness. Mm-hmm. And I saw it hurt his career. Mm-hmm. And I saw, it really tied one hand behind his back. So, I used that. Even some of the negatives about him to help, shape who I am.
Yeah.
I would say, the only other person that really shaped the direction of where I went would be really when I met my wife. Mm. well, we've almost been married 25 years, so again, about 27 years ago, mm-hmm. just on a real off chance, happened to be working at one Walmart as a college job. Maxed out my hours there. Store manager asked me if I wanted to work in another store. Mm-hmm. So I thought, why not? You know, make some overtime. Maybe I'll meet the woman of my dreams. And ironically did. Literally the very next day.
Wow.
And that I mean, my life took, you know, that was the most definitive fork in the road that ever existed.
She worked there? She
worked there too. You know, yeah. It was, you know, and, you know, that was the basically 27 years ago and haven't been apart since.
Yeah.
So.
That's great. Okay, so transitioning to the more Georgia Tech initiative related questions.
Yeah.
Can you please describe how you initially became involved with Georgia Tech? I know you say you attended, but beyond that, like, how have you been involved with Georgia Tech?
Well, you know, obviously ever since going there, I've always maintained connections to a certain extent with Tech. Mm-hmm. But in this particular instance, you know, our daughter Kirsten had gotten sick and, mm-hmm. You know, she was diagnosed with small cell lung cancer. And, you know, though she was 19 when she was diagnosed and being treated as an adult, she was being treated within a pediatric setting. So it just so happened that while she was at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, Karen Wasilewski, our oncologist at the time and now friend, family friend, said, hey, look, you know, we've got Georgia Tech in Professor Zimmering's class in particular, coming in to look at healthcare. You know, would you all be interested in participating? Mm-hmm. And the one thing, you know, Kirsten, even as sick as she was a phenomenal, phenomenal person, really, that she wanted to help no matter what, you know, help other people, other kids. So she jumped on the chance, and, you know, that was something that, you know, I thought, hey, you know, the connection that I have to Tech, you know, the connection that we have through Children's Healthcare, mm-hmm. you know, it would be something really beneficial to participate in. Because one of the things that Kirsten and I had talked about was just some of the inefficiencies we had already seen with patient care.
Right.
You know, and silly things from, you know, difficulty in checking the check-in process through you go into a treatment room, and there were no outlets available really for patients to plug their electronics into.
Right.
You know, silly little things like that. Yeah. So Professor Zimmering's class and the students, they were very interested in hearing about all that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was something that Kirsten was, you know, eager to help others through what she was going through so that they didn't have to, you know, whether it was the inefficiency of the system or hopefully not having to be treated for the same type of disease.
Right.
So that's how we got, you know, initially involved. And then Kirsten and I spoke at Tech to the larger class, you know, just during a kind of a Q&A session, mm-hmm. both, you know, just about what it was like for her as a teenager, at 20 at the time, to be suffering, you know, a terminal illness,
yeah.
What it was like for us as parents to be going through that. And then just about what, you know, how technology could actually help influence outcomes.
Right. And that's, you know, kind of what this whole project is about, you know, getting to know the people that our researchers are affecting, you know, like, yeah. or in our research is affecting. So, in the fact that you were able to, you know, she was able to go and speak to the class, how do you think that affected the students and professors? Yeah. Like, what do you think about that?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, for Kirsten, who was only maybe a year or two younger than most of the, you know, the average age of that class, you know, it made things very real for the members of the class,
yeah.
because here was somebody that been in the prime of her life that shouldn't have to be worrying about dying,
right.
who was dying, but still taking the time to actually try to make the world a better place while she was going through this. You know, I think in many ways, you know, the majority of the population at Children's, they're kids, they're you know, mm-hmm. babies through 7, 10 years old. I mean, the average age there is pretty young. So mm-hmm. for a college student, you know, they're not looking at them as peers. It's, you know, oh, we're helping children. But mm-hmm. Kirsten kind of, you know, she changed that viewpoint that what it meant, different things to be, mm-hmm. you know, different things to be, you know, a patient. It's get this one down off the counter here. I love cats, but... Yeah, it was also, I think, you know, for the class to understand that, you know, their work actually meant something, you know, because Kirsten was able, even at that time when she spoke, she was able to tell them, you know, hey, look, I loved giving you this idea or that idea, and already had gotten to see some of the wireframes really around the ideas that they wanted to work on improving.
Right.
So she could also do something that most little kids couldn't, and that was give them adult level feedback on the work that was being done.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. Let's talk more about Kirsten. Tell me about her. What was she like? And talk about her.
Kirsten was an eternal optimist. This was a girl who literally only saw the good in people. Really never had a negative thought, would be friends to anyone. You know, she would pick, you know, she would pick the kid in class who was picked on and make them her friend. She would also just walk up to people and say, hey, I want to be your friend. And she did that from little. So you know, I would say just a super kind-hearted person. And what was interesting is when she got sick, you know, the first thing they tell you is don't Google what you have. Well, she and I both did, and we knew what she had. We immediately knew that it was going to be fatal. There was a 0%, you know, 5-year survival rate for small cell lung cancer, unfortunately. So she knew she was a goner, and she knew that the clock was, you know, the clock was ticking. I mean, she didn't lose hope that there wouldn't be some sort of a miracle, but you know, she knew that time was limited. So basically what she did was just kind of amped up who she was. Didn't change. Some people, you know, they receive a diagnosis like that, they become radically different. Some people become super religious. Some people become atheists. You know, it really, but Kirsten didn't change who she was. She just made it a mission really to pack as much living into what she had left as possible. Lots of travel, but also, you know, she gave talks not only for the tech project, but to the Rotary and a few other clubs at West Georgia University or Georgia State University. So there was a lot of participation. The one thing she wanted us to do was make sure that, you know, she saw these little kids sitting in children's, that their parents, maybe it was just a mom and the mom had to work, so the poor kids were there by themselves. And that broke her heart. She was lucky that both Sean and I were able to spend time with her. So she wanted us to, you know, find ways to fundraise, to raise awareness, you know, to drive money, not just to finding cures for cancer, but finding ways to maybe, you know, offset a family's financial burden so that they could spend time with their kids if they were being treated at the hospital. So, you know, even when she was her sickest, I mean, probably right up until 2 or 3 days before she passed away, she still had a smile on her face, still was joking, laughing, you know, having a good time with what she could do.
Right. So would you think that's like kind of her legacy, and not just the kindness that, you know, she was, you know, but just how you mentioned about, you know, wanting to help other patients and things like that.
That's what, you know, that's the thing that she, you know, she made us promise that, you know, that we would continue her work in trying to, A, find a cure, B, make life easier for those that had to suffer through treatment, you know, C, that we continue, that, you know, we can continue to talk about things, to fund, you know, to directly fundraise, but also not become sad sacks, you know, and just to continue to travel and enjoy life. To show, you know, it's also to show others that just because you receive something so, you know, terrible news, you know, it's like, don't let it ruin your life. It may kill you, but don't let it ruin your life. So it's, you know, she just wanted us to, you know, and her legacy is just the friend to everybody who wanted to help people not suffer what she suffered, and just for, you know, for us to continue just living life, and, you know, and showing people that there's, you know, there's more than one way to deal with tragedy and grief.
Yes. Okay. I think that's pretty, you know, all the questions I have. Is there anything else that you wanted to share on your end?
Well, I mean, just, you know, I think the most important thing is specifically to Georgia Tech and the project. I love the fact that, you know, that, that Georgia Tech has undertaken the desire to do things with societal value, with social value. It's not just about, you know, going out and making $1 million. It's not just about going, you know, inventing the next new widget or a new process for doing things.
Yeah.
It's actually using our knowledge and our skill to help make others' lives better in the worst of circumstances. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for us, and, you know, meeting Professor Zimmering, meeting the class, and, you know, several of them also would come to Kearson's Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just to know that, you know, they touched us, we touched them, and that the work that they did is today actively making a real difference in the lives of how the patients are being, you know, processed and dealt with, and handling their stint, hopefully a short stint, at Children's Healthcare.
Well, thank you for participating in the Everyday Georgia Interview Project and sharing your story with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
The following interview is conducted as part of the Georgia Institute of Technology's Everyday Georgia Interview Project. Today is May 30th. The interview is taking place in Woodstock, Georgia. The interviewer is Allison Powell Key. The interviewee is Aaron Dixon. Thank you for participating in this project.
Okay.
All right. So the first question is, where were you born and where did you grow up?
I was born at Northside, I think, and I was raised here. We first lived closer to Roswell, but then we moved down here. So I've been in this house since 2005.
Okay. And how old are you?
I'm 17.
17. Okay. And can you tell me about your education experiences?
I've been through preschool, elementary, and middle school and high school with every single person I've known my entire life. My elementary school was right down the road, and they all knew my sister. They all knew my mom. And in high school, if people didn't go to school with my mom, or if they didn't teach my mom, they went to school with my mom. So all the teachers know me, and they taught my sister. So it's just kind of, I've had a high school experience where everyone knew me.
Yeah.
And it's a great experience, but I'm ready for something new.
Okay. All right. So talk more about that. What are your interests? What are your hobbies? Things like that.
Well, my hobbies are soccer, and my interests in life are actually to become an oncology nurse.
Awesome.
I didn't really think I wanted to do that at first. I actually wanted to be in technology, like my parents are. But then I realized I cannot sit at a desk. I'm very up and moving. I have to be doing something at all times. So I was looking into the nursing, and I thought I wanted to be an ER nurse, but not that good for blood.
Yeah.
And then it was just kind of a calling. I realized how much, like, I still didn't know about cancer, and so I wanted to learn more. And the more I learned, the more I realized that I wanted to help I wanted to help cancer patients. So I don't know if I want to do pediatrics or adult, but
yeah,
I do want to be an oncology nurse.
So you graduate next year?
I graduate next year, yes.
And do you have like any idea of like where you're gonna go for school or anything like that?
I'm actually committed to West Georgia.
Oh, nice.
For soccer. They have one of the best nursing programs in the Southeast, so figured it's a win-win.
Yeah, definitely.
So very excited for that.
All right. So next question is, can you describe a significant person or event which influenced who you are today?
Definitely my family and my sister. I used to be a troublemaker. I used to be kind of the person that
you know, lied and did did little small things, not big things, but did things just to get under my parents' skin because I was a younger kid and I got away with everything. But when my sister got sick, I realized that I had to become an adult and I had to start taking care of things around the house. I had to take care of my parents when they were upset. I had to make sure that my sister was okay at all times. It did make me grow up, her situation and my family, but she's definitely shaped me and to become a better person and to see that, like, the actual real things that you need in life and the meaning of life and how happy you should be and not take each day for granted.
Mm, definitely.
So.
Okay. So talking more just about the Georgia Tech Initiative kind of questions, can you talk about how you have been involved with Georgia Tech?
Well, my dad went there.
Yeah.
I'm not as involved, but when my sister was going through it, the whole process, I actually kind of blanked out of that time. Really repressed the memories, sadly. I mean, but I was looking at Georgia Tech for a little bit for school.
Uh-huh.
But Georgia Tech, with her, her medicine and what she was doing and the whole project, I think that's the most I was into it.
Okay. Can you talk just more about your sister? What kind of person was she? What was she like?
She was annoyingly happy.
That's what your dad said.
Very optimistic. Very happy-go-lucky. Nothing really fazed her. When she first gotten sick, of course she was upset and she was very sad, but that affected her for maybe 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe once in a blue moon was she actually upset. I think it caused her to really take a look at life, and she was just a person that, I mean, was nice to everyone. She didn't have a mean bone in her body, unless it came to me. Six and a half years apart, we definitely had our problems. I would steal her clothes and she'd get mad at me, or we'd get into an argument over a remote. A remote, okay? She threw a heel at me and she bit me when she had braces.
Wow.
I will never forgive her for that. But I did leave a scar at the top of her forehead. What else? We definitely had our issues. She got under my skin a lot and I got under hers. But when times came to it, she was my best friend. I mean, when my parents yelled at us, I mean, she'd come into my room and support me and I'd go into her room. But, you know, our parents would never know because we wanted them to think that we were enemies.
Yeah.
But when she could drive, we would go to the pool and get junk food. Horrible, horrible junk food. Listen to our favorite songs, drive around for an hour to 2 hours, and then just enjoy our summers. She's the reason why I actually started to play soccer. I learned everything from her. I watched her play.
Oh, she played as well.
Yeah, she was okay. An inspiration to me. Everyone around her, if they were in a bad mood, as soon as she got there, she would do something dumb or say something funny, and they would all have a better day. She was very book smart.
Mm-hmm.
Common sense was a different story. She was definitely a blonde at heart, but she was a great person.
Okay. All right. I think that's pretty much all the questions I have. The other questions I have are kind of more on the Georgia Tech side, and it sounds like you weren't really that close.
No, that was definitely my dad and my mom. Okay. I kind of blanked on that.
Okay, well, that's fine. Awesome. So is there anything else that you'd like to share?
Her, just in general, I can't express it enough how good of a person she was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even to the end, she was an amazing person. I mean, we still got in fights and we still had our problems, but she was just so happy. And I actually had no clue that she had the cancer that she had.
Mm-hmm.
Both my parents and her kept it from me. I thought that it was a survival cancer.
Oh, yeah.
So I did not know until probably the last month.
Mm-hmm.
When they had finally told me that there was no survival rate past 5 years and that she most likely wasn't going to become there. But that goes to show how happy she was the whole time that I didn't know that there was no survival rate, and she still fought, did the Georgia Tech project, and did everything to do to try to live. I mean,
right.
She was just a great person and everything.
Yeah, I can definitely tell from what you've told me and what your dad told me.
So. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's it. Thank you for participating in the Everyday Georgia Interview Project and sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much.